Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. We're back. I think we can say we're back now. This is the second show in a week. I think that constitutes as back.
Yeah, as long as Dwayne's here, we're here.
Well, exactly. That's fine. So, you know, and he's back and never coming away. We've done that. We are back. We are building up to WrestleMania. And after last night's SmackDown, the last night as we record this, we are as jacked as a John Cena OnlyFans. My God. My God, that man is having fun promoting his film, which no one's going to watch, but no. We're getting some absolute gold out of it on the interwebs. So, yeah. If you want to see Cena's facial routine or playing with some blue balls or...
Yeah, someone leaked the videos today, didn't they? They're all over Twitter.
Yeah, or taking the whole length of something in his mouth, then go straight to his OnlyFans. And yeah, you can have fun with that. I don't know if we're going to do like a review on it. We've got enough stuff to talk about, so I don't know if we're going to have time to delve into that. But if someone wants to, then crack on.
Yeah,
crack on. Have. Okay, let's get the formalities out of the way. I'm your host, Andrew. With me, as always, is Mr. Vosbell.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, any hummus accidents since last week?
No, I've had no hummus at all. I've stayed away from it this week, just in case.
I was getting like a... I'll get the feeling that if you'd said it, it'd be like a NAMM flashback thing. It's like, you weren't there, man. And it's like, love the smell of burning hummus in the morning. Right, it's been a big week in WWE and pro wrestling, as we can now apparently call it, because that's all that's being said now on TV. It's no longer sports entertainment. If you didn't think that Vince was gone, surely he is now. Not only are they doing on-air tributes to Ole Anderson, who Vince did not like, but yeah, they're also doing pro wrestling is being wrestling. Spoken yeah, by yeah, wrestlers. Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy concept.
They're wrestlers as well.
Yeah, they're not just superstars, they're actual wrestlers now, and being said with pride and not disgrace, and you know, so yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, in the last week, we have had plenty that we are going to spend the next hour or so talking about. We are going to start straight off with last Saturday in Perth. It was a lovely 11 a.m. start in the UK. That was a wonderful time to start watching a premium live event. And all in all, before we get into the meat of the show, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good pay-per-view.
Yes, I missed the kickoff match, but the four matches that we saw and the Waller effects all kind of, they all hit really. No sort of downbeats to it at all.
Good crowd, really live crowd in the Optus Stadium. Still a relatively new stadium built. I think it was just after COVID or just before COVID, and obviously it was all shut. So it definitely fits that mold of stadium that WWE now like running, not just for their big, it used to be that sort of show be like a SummerSlam or Mania. That's now getting like a, you know, with all due respect, a setup show, which Chamber is.
The thing is, these places are these cities are paying tens of millions of dollars for the WWE to turn up in these stadiums. Like that story the other day, they could have gone to Wembley last year, but Cardiff paid them more, so they went to Cardiff.
That's literally it. Why'd they do Clash at the Castle? Why did they do the O2? You know, it's because they are getting paid a lot of money, and you know, AEW are
they're having to pay. Aren't they?
I think they are paying for Wembley because, and this isn't a knock on AEW. This is just that the fact of the matter is that WWE are in the position now where it's like, well, we don't need to pay you to let us run your stadiums. Like, we are bigger. We are one of the biggest, as Vince always used to say, we're not just a pro wrestling company. They're one of the biggest entertainment conglomerates and media entities in the world. They put on massive shows. You know, they run weekly episodic TV and all this. They are up there with the kings of pay-per-view. Like, they don't have to pay to go places. No, if someone wants to host them, they will cough up. If Sadiq Khan or whatever his name is doesn't want to pony up to get them into Wembley Stadium, then they won't go run. They'll keep running the 20,000 O2 Arena as opposed to a 90,000 Wembley. Yeah. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Australia paid, and the economy always gains. Like, the economy goes mental when WWE in town. So the money does come back in eventually, I think that the fans got a good show.
Yeah, 53,000, I think, were there. And yeah, it was really a show pretty much from start to finish. Kicking off with the women's chamber match, I thought was possibly the stronger of the two matches. I think the men's had more highlight moments, but I think overall the women's was a better match. and an absolute star-making turn from Tiffany Stratton.
Incredible. Some women's chamber matches in the past have felt a little sloppy in places, but this hit that they had a good selection of talent. I've said Tiffany was making her first big appearance in like a singles outing.
And a swanton off the top of the pod.
Insane. And going to an international location like that as well, where we don't obviously know they get the TV shows get shown weekly like they do everywhere, but you never quite know sometimes how a new talent will be received in a location outside of America. But it would appear that, well, it's Tiffy time everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. She was good. Lynch was the obvious winner, I think. Her and Morgan, kind of the two, the rest of them sort of. Belair's a little bit floundering at the minute, and Rodriguez has got some outside ring sort of skin issues, isn't she, that she's dealing with?
Apparently it flared up on the flight over. Like her participation was touch and go. For anyone may notice, she went au naturel. There was no makeup. Her medical issue flared up, and she apparently was as pink as her satin pillow. Like she did well to even to be there, and full credit to her to come through that. Been off for a few months as well, and still go through that and go out there and put in a good performance where, let's be honest, no one really expected. She wasn't going to win. She's just come back, so she's not really been in the public's thought and consciousness because she's not been around. So I thought she did well. But Becky was the Liv. I think that they had a case if they wanted to go with Liv Morgan. They've got a story built in with her and Rhea. That's good. But at the same time, I think you knew Becky was going to win. I did like that once it got down to the final three, once Bianca went, it was obvious. It's like, let's not drag it out. Let's just have Becky hit her straight away with the assignment. And that's it. Win the Manhattan Slam. That is it. There was no point having a 5-10 minute match on top when you know Becky's going to win. It's just a waste of Liv Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the right winner, and it's going to be a good match at Mania.
There's been a lot of criticism online I've seen of Becky winning.
I don't get it.
The pro Becky side are saying, "Oh, well, look at her last year. She's worked with Zoe Stark. She's put her over. She's worked with Trish. She's put her over." It's like, but do you put over Trish Stratus? Like, potential one maybe the greatest female wrestlers of all time. Like, whether you're Becky or you're Zoe Stark, you get a rub from working with Trish and beating Trish. You know, and Becky has still won a lot over the last year, but I still think at the end of the day, she is box office. She is money. She is the biggest female star established they have.
It's been over a year since she's held a title, isn't it? So she needs to be in that picture.
And she's mainstream. Like she is known mainstream. You know,
her and Seth are on everything at the minute.
They did the Hot Ones, which was actually really, and the thing is they're really likable. For Seth, who is a natural heel, and Becky, who was a heel for a large part of her career the last couple of years, like they are really likable. Because a lot of wrestling couples, when you see them outside of WWE, they're like, "I hate you. Like you must be so unbearable to live with. Like you're made for each other." They are likable, and it's good. You know, it's good to see him outside of the really ill-fated and ill-advised putting them together as a team on screen as a couple, because that was awful. But Becky for me was the winner, and her versus Rhea is the biggest match they have, I think, for now in the women's sort of, well, on the Raw side at least, anyway, in the women's division.
It's a money match.
Up next, Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. It was Finn Balor and Damian Priest. They were taking on the new Catch Republic, who are Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I don't mind the name. It's something different. It's unique. They stand out. Catch-as-catch-can wrestling that JR used to talk about, so it does kind of work with that. I adored this match. I'm still not 100% on Damian Priest. I'm coming around. He's working a lot harder. I think he's not just that big guy. Finn is Finn. Like, there's no, you know what you're going to get. Tyler Bate, it is just incredible. Like, the fact he hasn't been the main roster star for years, he's only now getting there is a crime, but the fact that him and Pete Dunne went out there on an international premium live event and they brought the house down with two established stars.
It was a fantastic match. It's great to see those boys in that position. I'm coming around on Priest. It's been a I wasn't keen on his NXT run, and I didn't really get him early on in the Judgment Day when they were like the Edge Judgment Day. He was just a big guy. But yeah, it's interesting to see where they go with him. Obviously, they teased on Raw that he's going to cash in his belt for a well, an IC title match, maybe, which is interesting. I wouldn't be against seeing him versus Gunther.
I like that it makes the IC belt look see, and we'll get into it more when we go through Raw, but I like that they could use that one because there's no way he's fitting into the whole World Heavyweight
No,
Championship,
there's
Universal
too much
Championship
going on
thing
there
right
as it
now. And it's
is.
just and he's not that big. Like if you try
No.
putting him in with a Seth or a Drew or a Roman the Cody, one of
Yeah,
these things is not like the other. It's just not going
exactly.
to work.
It's like when Sandow
And
tried to cash in on Cena. No.
yeah, exactly. So if you're going to have him go for another belt, that to me, if you're gonna still kind of try and protect the Money in the Bank,
Yeah.
which I think is still, even though it has been,
Yeah,
it has taken a bit of a
it
hit in recent
falls in with
years.
Theory, didn't it? I think it was a real big
Yeah,
letdown.
there's still some of the big moments in WWE over the last decade have been around Money in the Bank, so I think it still
Yeah.
holds a level of prestige. If you can use that to make it another, what's a secondary, quote unquote, belt bigger, then that can only be a good thing. But yeah, this
Absolutely, yeah.
match was great, and Priest hung with them. Like these are three
Yes,
smaller
yeah.
guys who are used to working at European style, and Priest didn't look out of place, which is
No, he
a massive
didn't.
credit to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the three workhorses and Priest, but yeah, like you're saying, Priest just hung in there and looked good, and yeah, fair credit to them. And Dominic Mysterio is the most hated man in every country, it seems.
I love that he need even in interviews now, he still has to maintain they don't dub that in. I get
Yeah.
booed that much. It's not piped in. Like I genuinely am hated. Oh, I feel
And
bad that
Ricky
he
hate
lost
at
that
this
on
point.
the Brock Lesnar match. He was supposed to work with Brock at Chamber before,
Yeah.
Brock disappeared.
Became Brock.
So Dom at least still got to have his moment in front of the crowd
Yeah.
to the point where they had to mute the audio at one point because they kept chanting Dom is a wanker at him and they had to literally blank the audio for a few seconds. It's I mean, I remember we were there at Cardiff when he turned heel, and it was like, well, it's
Yeah,
great that he's
place
done it. It was
exploded.
overdue, but how's this gonna work? Like
Yeah.
Dom, he's not that, my God. Like my he's got that kind of heel presence that you can't teach it.
Yeah.
You Dusty couldn't show it, couldn't teach it in the school. Like it couldn't be taught
No.
in NXT by the best heel ever.
He's
It you
just a
just
natural
have it.
heel. It'll be hard to ever accept him as a face, I think.
I don't think he ever can be a face now.
No.
He's like the anti-Ricky Steamboat. You can't turn him anymore. Like, it's like Vicky Guerrero. Vicky
Yeah.
Guerrero. What is it with the Guerreros? Okay, let's be honest. He is a Guerrero, obviously. He's Eddie's,
He's a
and
stepson.
he's his. Exactly. Like, yeah, but he got his moment. He got thrown out and then said that they got the finish and they didn't lose anything. But
No.
in losing, they gained a lot to come out of it. And
Yeah, definitely.
from what sort of transpired the backstage segment on SmackDown, which we'll get to, it looks like they're not out of running
Yeah,
yet
which is
in
good.
regards to, and maybe they'll be at WrestleMania, which would be
Imagine
really good to see
that.
Tyler Bate at
Yeah.
WrestleMania. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, up next, segment time, the Grayson Waller effect. Grayson Waller, national fucking hero returning. He did a shoey, which I didn't know what that was until Elimination Chamber. So I've learned something. I'm not going to do it, but I've learned something.
I've seen Daniel Ricciardo do it at the F1 before. Yeah, that's not very nice. Damn,
I don't get it.
it
I don't understand it.
hurts.
And he came out of Austin Theory, who was hated. So by association, you still don't get over. You're not liked. And they brought out, of course, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins for the Grayson Waller effect. This did what it had to. It had the pops. Cody got his massive entrance. It told the story. Cody challenged the Rock to a one-on-one match any place, any time. Seth said he was days away from being cleared to compete. He'd back up Cody in his fight with the Bloodline. Beat up Austin Theory. Like,
Yeah,
fine.
served its purpose, sowed seeds of a breakdown between Theory and Waller as well. Waller just standing back and watching Theory get beaten up. So, yeah, serves its purpose for all four men. Gets two of your
And
biggest stars on the show.
it did kind of set up a couple of things on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it wasn't a complete waste. Cody told his story, quote unquote. Seth got to ahead of his bit. There was a little bit of a lead into the next two shows for Theory and Waller. Absolutely fine. Crowd loved it. Nothing offensive. All good.
Yeah, not a problem. Good segment.
Right. Semi-main event, men's chamber match. The winner will face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 40. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, and Bobby Lashley. Straight away, the fact that Logan Paul, when you say his name, you don't think he doesn't belong there.
Yeah, that fits.
The fact
doesn't it?
That he does, like, he belongs there. Mike, it's so annoying.
He's so good.
How good he is at this. He is an absolute, like, natural at this.
Him selling of his fake injury. I can't move. And it rolls back
like
in the
ring. In the pod, he's like steaming it up so he can, like, you know, writing it. He's got a marker, like a Sharpie, and he's writing on the thing, like Owen Sumps and stuff. And it's
the bit where he walks up to Owen's cage, pod, and Owen's just starts headbutting it. And he's like, oh, now,
it's mental. Brilliant. Like, I think he's like full time permanent now. It's not sort of like in and out. He's, this is insane. Like, Logan Paul is one of the best things on TV, and I cannot believe I'm saying that, and it's fully justified.
He's going to get a fairly semi-high match at WrestleMania against one of these guys.
Big profile as well, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Right, Chamber, as we said, I think, obviously, I had the bigger moments compared to the women's. I think the women's match was probably better overall, but this still had its moments. This had some good stuff.
Bobby Lashley's so good. I think he's kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit the last year or so. He's just an absolute beast who hasn't seemed to have aged in 20 years and is still just as good as he ever was. It arguably be better than he ever was now. You could put him with any of these guys at Mania and I'd be perfectly fine with it. He's the odd man out in this though, because I don't know where he goes to WrestleMania. Knight is going to face AJ because of AJ's interference, costing him the match. Logan and Paul and Kevin Owens seems set, I guess.
It seems to be they're going to go in with a three-way. For that.
With Randy Orton as well, So I just feel a bit bad for Bobby, really, but Drew's obviously the star of this. He's been so good. He's on such a tear at the minute. He's had his moments, like his NXT run was fantastic, and he's had his kind of time at the top where he's champion in the COVID era. I think he deserves another title run, but it's getting a bit muddled up with that title picture in a minute. But yeah, he was fantastic in this, and some big spots. A good chamber match all in all. Nowhere near as bad as some of we've had over the years, but yeah, pretty good. Happy with the winner as well.
I think the winner was obvious. I think for all this, and we said this in the last show, I'm sorry, Drew either has or he's about to sign his contract. You don't give the man this much on TV. He beat Cody Rhodes. Cody hasn't lost a match since Mania last year. Drew beat him. 1-2-3 on Raw. He's won the chamber. There's no way you give that to someone who is arm and arm about staying with the company. Absolutely no way at all. And Drew deserves, as you said, he deserves another title reign, and more importantly, deserves to win a belt at Mania in front of fans. For no other reason other than the fact that he is the best heel in the company right now in terms of on current form, and he's a full-timer and everything. And the fact that he carried the company through the Thunderdome era, and he won two titles, both of which were in an empty stadium. He deserves that title win.
He's not going to get booed, though, is he? He's going to be cheered when he wins that belt, because he's the cool heel. He's the tweener guy. He's the Edge. He's the CM Punk. He's taking on that mantle, because we've not got one of them at the minute, really. And Seth can easily flip to being a heel for a match against. If the crowd turns, then Seth can easily play the heel in that match. Not a problem.
And where we're now in like a world where we don't have to have defined faces and heels. If a heel gets cheered, fine, whatever, just go with it. You know, there's no, oh crap, mate, boo him, poke the booze in. Don't care now. So if Drew, and it's Mania, there's always a pass with Mania and with Canada. Yeah. There's a pass. It's going to completely go against the script. Yeah. But yeah, this was all about Drew. He started, the week he came in, and yeah, I'm glad that AJ Styles didn't fall off the end of the flat earth when he traveled over to cost LA Knight the match. I mean, dedication, you travel half across the world just to cost someone a match. Like, that's...
Well, he wasn't on SmackDown this week, so who knows, maybe he tried to go the other way to America and he's not.
Maybe that's
not
it,
made
it. Yeah, they haven't got him back yet. I'm surprised the way they've gone with LA Knight, because I was sure they were going to put him with Logan and give him the US title at Mania to try and capitalize on some of the popularity he's still got. So I'm a bit surprised they've seemingly diverted to AJ, which just feels like it'll be good. But it's a mid-card Mania match where I don't really see anything at stake.
It may even open the show.
It might. It'd be... That's the thing. There was always, if you can't main event Mania, you want to open Mania. you know. And
AJ can tear the house down in the opening. Didn't he do it with Shane?
He did that with Shane. I mean, if you can tear the house down with Shane McMahon in the opening match of Mania, you've got something, you know. And your hair looks fantastic blowing in the wind as well. So
he said today that he wants to be champion again before he retires, and I can see that happening at some point.
I would love it. I don't see in
not
the
anytime soon. Sort of,
that's the thing. You look on the horizon. It's just it's all Cody. It's Gunther, yes. You know, in there. Yeah. It's. And you don't see where AJ is going to fit right now. They've almost got too many. You know, Lashley's got nothing to do. Exactly, Orton's kind of bumbling in the US title picture. Yeah. With all, I know they're trying to make titles more important now. Mm. Randy Orton's a main eventer. He's a world champion. You know, yeah. LA Knight's over. In the past, LA Knight would have got like a 1 month reign.
Yeah,
I have that now. Yeah. Like, there's, it's almost like this is probably the best group of talent, like over main event level talent they've had for. Do you dare say ever? Even the Attitude Era, realistically, in the Attitude Era, Austin,
four guys, didn't you? I guess, yeah.
Taker, you know, he was crap, but Taker, Triple H wasn't there yet. Rock wasn't there yet. Kane was kind of always there or thereabouts.
Yeah, thinking more like when Kurt came in, probably around that time.
Yeah,
like you had Mankind at the top as well, and yeah, but I get your point. Right now, they got too many guys. They don't know what to do with them, really.
I mean, I think for all the criticism he gets, Vince Russo did at least have... He had a roster where everyone was over, everyone had a story. It wasn't necessarily good, but everyone had a story.
Yes.
So while I don't think they have that now, they have better and more over talent now than I think they've ever had.
Any... My feelings about any other side, you can pick any of those five guys, including Logan Paul. And make them the next contender for the championship. And it wouldn't seem out of place because they're all over that much that you can just pick and choose whichever one of those guys you wanted to be the next
challenger. In the last, nearly 4 years that Roman's had the title, three years, whatever, he's feuded with Logan Paul, he's feuded with Kevin Owens, three, four matches. Yeah. He's feuded with LA Knight, he's feuded briefly with Bobby Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
He did feud a little bit with Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And he's feuded with Drew. Like, Roman's gone through all of these people. In the 3 years he's had the championship, because these have all been put up and down. So, your turn for the title picture.
Yeah.
Once Roman goes away and Cody has his nice little run, that world in the main event just opens up for any of these guys.
Yeah.
And they could all be dropped in, and the fans be like, yeah, we buy it.
Yeah,
like, there's no like, oh, it's a Jinder Mahal, you know, sort of thing. It's elevating someone just because they need someone. They've got such a roster of people that could be just dropped into that title picture for a couple of months. It's insane.
Future's bright.
So Drew wins. He's off to WrestleMania. Busted the drum and all. Legit, apparently. Thankfully, he didn't CM Punk it and have to miss Mania. Because can you imagine if Drew got injured as well? Would it be the most cursed WrestleMania ever?
Yeah, I think it would have been. Yeah.
Jesus. Right, main event. Probably the rightful main event. It can only be this main event, and really. Rhea Ripley defended the Women's World Championship against Nia Jax. They said after the match it was Nia Jax's best ever match.
I mean, yeah, probably. She has been getting better since this return, and this is probably the peak of her. I don't think she can get any better than this. This is the peak of her powers, working with someone that I'm still not a huge Rhea fan. I've never been a Rhea fan, but she worked really, really well with Nia in this, and I'm really looking forward to her versus Becky at Mania. I think she's on it after having a bit of a sort of not suspect year, but sort of a lack of challenges year. She's now sort of hitting her stride, and she was over like Rover, wasn't she? That crowd was wild for her.
Yeah. I think because most of the last year, she's just been like the Judgment Day character. And obviously once Edge went and she was Mammy and she was the leader.
Yeah.
And that's been her year more than in ring, really. Mm. And I think that's why it's a great, she's had about for a year. Brilliant, you know. But we said in the last show, can you remember much of Rhea's done in the ring? Out the ring, great segments, the stuff with Dom and all this. Yeah. And it's brilliant. Like, that's made her into, you know, that huge star that is big enough to rival a Becky Lynch at Mania, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good to... It's just a shame it's towards maybe the end of her title reign, possibly, that we're now seeing her get to work at her top level in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, even if she loses to Becky, she's not going to be out on that picture for long, I don't think. You've got, obviously, a lot of women that you can kind of cycle in, much like the men's scene. There's so many women that are kind of deserving of a title opportunity or a run as the main contender that she won't be out there for long, I don't think. And because there's those two women's titles as well, Who knows? She could Judgment Day could disband as she switches to SmackDown. Rhea versus Bayley would be good.
I think that the obvious thing is a post WrestleMania where Rhea goes face and leaves Judgment Day, or gets kicked out of Judgment Day, for example.
Yeah.
Because she can be a, she can keep her character and be a face. She doesn't have to change her character in the slightest,
mm-hmm.
and she can stay and she can be a face. So yeah, I think that's probably the immediate is that they could turn her, and either put a woman in her place, you know, in Judgment Day, and there's your new feud or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
So Chambers in the books. 2 nights later, they are back in America. Travel involved in the last in this Jesus Christ, San Jose, California. We are kicking off with Rhea Ripley, fittingly coming out. Talking about a successful Women's World Championship defense against Nia Jax at the Chamber. Predictably, Becky came out. They went back and forth about their WrestleMania match. And just after Rhea and Dom left, Becky was attacked by Nia Jax. Again, it's a nice play because Nia beat Becky a little while ago. So Nia has that thing. So she's still in and about the picture. So, you know, that that keeps Becky busy short term with Rhea Khan just lingering in the background there.
They've got that bit of history as well, haven't they? Between the two. So they can always go back to
that. Good segment. Sets things up. We get to see a bit more Becky and Rhea. There'll be a lot more to come over the next sort of 5 weeks.
Definitely.
So, yeah, all good. First match of the evening, Sami Zayn beat Shinsuke Nakamura. Really good match. That wasn't because of NXT match from back in the day, but
no,
yeah,
that's
really
what I was
good
thinking
match
the whole way through it. I think, oh, God, that's one of my all-time classics. That's in my top five. That is...
Yeah, and the both men have come along a lot, but... At almost to the detriment of that, and obviously they're on main roster now, and you don't have that same sort of tie. But for what the limitations that still come with a Monday Night Raw, no matter who's in charge of the creator anymore, they did really well.
Yeah.
The story ongoing and commentary hammer at home again that Zayn is desperate to win match leading into WrestleMania, and he wants to be a champion again. I think we know where this is going. After the match, backstage, Sami said he's reaffirmed his belief that he was going to be a champion, a contender. And that if a path to WrestleMania doesn't find him, he will go out and find it. And coincidentally, at this moment, who should walk past but Imperium? And Gunther laughed in his face. I sense WrestleMania for these two.
Yes.
And maybe more. So Gunther was out in the ring. He admitted for the first time in his title reign, his record-breaking title reign, that he felt the belt slipping away against Jey Uso. Of course, the week before, Jay was on the verge of winning before Jimmy got involved and cost his brother the match.
Yeah.
He said he's seen what fans are saying about who should face him at Mania. He named Sammy. He named Chad Gable. And Miz, even R-Truth was named. Judgment Day came out. Yeah, which was a little bit surprising because they're both heels. Damian Priest, as you alluded to a little while ago, teasing, suggesting maybe that he'd cash in the Money in the Bank for the IC title, which...
Yeah.
Makes sense that the world titles are not available at the moment for a Damian Priest involvement, but it makes the IC belt look big that he's willing to use the briefcase on that, and that can only be a good thing.
I was hoping it was Dom that was going to get involved because he was the one that was starting it, wasn't it? But then he kind of got Priest took over looking after his little buddy. But yeah, I think if we're heading where what we think we're heading, we're like a 5-way match, maybe 4 or 5-way match for that IC title, it's going to be a hell of a match. The guys around that title in a minute.
This is a ladder match, right? Like, this screams ladder match.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Gunther, Priest, Gable, Sammy, Miz, and R-Truth in a ladder match for the RC title?
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
It's going to be great. Sammy wins that as well.
Part of me thinks Chad Gable versus Gunther is the match because they've got that story.
Match.
Like, Gable still wants revenge for making his daughters cry when he beat him. And and Gable was even talking about that. And, like, that's the story. And Sammy's got his story. And it's like, either one you can go with. And if Gunther is going to lose his title at Mania, you want someone to get the rub from it. Now, I love Sami Zayn. But does he need a rub of beating Gunther to end that reign? Can you imagine what Chad Gable could gain out of that?
Yeah, he deserves
it. Sammy's main event in pay-per-views. He was involved in the Bloodline. He's main event against Roman Reigns like a year ago.
At WrestleMania.
Like, he main evented last year's Mania. Does Sammy need the rub of beating Gunther? Well, can you imagine what Chad Gable? He could finally leave the Alpha Academy behind. He could be a genuine player if he ends Gunther's reign.
It's obviously a massive claim to make, but it's Chad Gable's in that sort of. Almost a Shawn Michaels Bret Hart mold of an absolute beast in the ring, But he's also got a little bit on the mic as well. Probably more. He's more Brett than he is Sean, I reckon.
Yeah.
More of a technical wrestler. But give him that title, make him the workhorse champion, have him defend it every week on Raw. Like, he'll tear the house down with everyone. He's so good.
The other thing I wonder is if you go have a ladder match, do you do that so Gunther doesn't get pinned, but he does lose the belt? But
yeah,
then
I think you
if
can play
you're
going to
lose the belt, should he get pinned? Like,
it's
becoming
a moment,
the IC
isn't
champion?
It?
Yeah, that's like, I get if you want to put him into, like, say, a feud with Cody Rhodes after Cody wins the belt, we think, then he can still be undefeated. Former Intercontinental Champion, record breaker Intercontinental Champion, but still hasn't been pinned.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if someone's going to win that title, the first person to have that belt for that long after Gunther holds it, shouldn't they beat Gunther? Like, shouldn't he take the pinfall?
Yeah. I think his character is more than strong enough to take a clean loss as well. Like, I'd like,
yeah,
if it was Gable, especially, like, just a clean one-on-one, best wrestler wins the belt, and that's it. Gunther can bounce back from that straight into the world title picture, and you got the best of both worlds then.
Look, can you imagine if they had Roman finally dropped the Universal Championship in a triple threat where he didn't get pinned or in a ladder match? Can you imagine? It's like, well, come on, he's got to take the pin. Like, he's got to lose
he
to the new
to
champion.
He has to lose at this point.
Gunther has to lose. Like, he has to be pinned. So in that sense, you're either doing a five-way or a multi-man, or you're having doing a multi-man match to crown or to name the challenger, and then they do the one-on-one.
Yeah, they can do that. They can definitely do that the week before on Raw, basically. The go-home show, a five-man match for the right to face Gunther for the title.
I mean, if they're getting guys pulled double duty at Mania, which they appear to be doing with the main event, fuck it. Do a five-way on night one, and then the winner faces Gunther on night two. Sod it. Like, let's just go nuts.
If Roman's doing double duty, I mean, anyone else on the roster can.
Plus, that means you can make night two literally pretty much all title matches. Because you'd have a world title, you got a universe championship, you could have an RC title, you could literally have a night of champions.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, night one is the setup, and like the AJ versus LA night, stuff like that. Then night two is all title matches.
Yeah, because you've got your main event, you've got the tag match. That's huge. That's a huge match still.
That's what I mean, because there's no way now. That means you guarantee now, for the first time in a while, both title matches are on the same night, because usually it's 1-1, isn't it? This time, straight away, you're having two on one night. Chuck the tag belts on there. Chuck the US title on there. It's just Logan Paul, big star, fine, and Randy Orton. And you can have night two, the second night, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, all title matches.
You can even get the women's tag team titles on there, because at the minute, they never get attached at any of these big events.
Yeah.
They're just a B-show title. You could make every single match a title match. The pyrotechnics budget would be out of this world.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Oh, that'd be insane. Fucking hell. right,
the Street Fight was good,
though. Street Fight was good, New Day against Kaiser and Vinci. It was good to see Imperium win, actually, because that's sort of match usually that the babyfaces win. So it was good to see the heels win. And in Ludwig Kaiser, they've got an absolute beast. What a stud. He is insane. He is absolutely incredible in the ring.
Yeah, the problem is they need almost like a third. They need NXT to become a third main brand and have a third main title to fit all these guys on, because they're packed with talent everywhere you look.
Just imagine what like these guys can do, and then if you call Ilya Dragunov up from NXT, Jesus Christ. Like, maybe he should end Gunter's reign. Maybe just call him up after, Gav Gunter retain at Mania and just bring
Monday
Dragunov
night
up.
After.
If Dragunov loses it,
I think challenge. And
I think NXT
have
run the pay per view on the Saturday morning.
Something
like that. Dragunov, I think, is facing.
Hang on, I had their names out earlier. It is Carmelo Hayes or Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah, so you put the belt on Carmelo Hayes, and he sets up the Trick versus Hayes match when he's back, and there's your feud to carry NXT through. Fine, bring Dragunov up. Done. There you go. Give me Gunter versus Dragunov. Fuck it. Put Bate over. Give me Bate versus Gunter again. I'll have it. We'll be eating good with that. My God. Okay, Chad Gable, we spoke about it now. Backstage, he told Adam Pearce, GM of Raw, that he wants to challenge Gunter for the RC Championship. Pearce said he would take it under consideration. Just before Gable came into his office, Pearce was on the phone to Bronson Reed and said he would also take something under consideration. So I'm thinking maybe put Bronson Reed in that whole mix-up for the RC belt as well.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
Did you see what Bronson said recently about what he's going to do at Chamber originally?
No, I missed it.
So Bronson Reed was due to compete at Elimination Chamber. He pulled out because his wife was due to give birth, which she did, a little bit earlier than scheduled. Bronson Reed just revealed that he was meant to face Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship before Seth got injured.
Okay.
Which is a huge spot for Bronson Reed.
That is, yeah. That's a quick escalation up the card, but it wouldn't have been a bad match at all.
Because I'm guessing that would have been, if things had been different, Punk would have won the Chamber at Elimination Chamber, because Cody would have won the Rumble. So yeah. Punk would have won the Chamber. Seth would have defended against Bronson. And at the end of that, we would have had Seth versus Punk confirmed for Mania as well then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bronson Reed obviously lost in the qualifiers for the Chamber spot. He was missing from the pay-per-view. Wife all gave birth, all happy and healthy. And yeah, it looks like Bronson might get inserted into the IC title picture as well.
Bring it on. Just put all the good wrestlers in there.
Right, up next, Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre in-ring promo, setting up WrestleMania, of course. Seth took the route that he felt that they need to be teaming up to take on the Bloodline before WrestleMania and take them down, because if they leave the Bloodline to get bigger and bigger with the addition of The Rock, of course, it won't be long before they eventually come for the World Heavyweight Championship. So they need to get rid of the Bloodline before WrestleMania. Yeah. Otherwise, it will just be a horrible, horrible place post-WrestleMania if the Bloodline are there. Drew, I think on social media after Raw in the couple of days that followed, was basically like, no, I'm not joining your little Avengers.
I'm not about that.
I'm coming for you and your title, like to hell with Roman Reigns. I like that they're starting to make the Bloodline a big thing again, not just with a Rock involvement on SmackDown, but they're having other guys talk about them. Like they are this big entity that is going to threaten to take over this whole place, and we need to work together to bring them down. Yeah. I think that's not so much with Drew, but I think that's going to feed in a lot to the main event of night two, which we'll get into. I think they're telling a story here that is going to pay off in a beautifully fan-friendly moment in 5 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan took on Nia Jax next. Nia Jax won, lost by DQ. Nia Jax won by DQ when Becky came out and attacked Nia, obviously coming off of the open segment with Rhea. Yeah. And it was announced that next week, Lynch takes on Nia Jax.
Fine.
Yep, sorry.
Keeps him busy.
Absolutely serviceable. No issue whatsoever there.
No.
Main event coming off of the segment at Chamber. Cody Rhodes took on and beat Grayson Waller. After the match, Paul Heyman came out and asked Cody to withdraw his challenge to The Rock for a one-on-one match. Cody, not surprisingly, refused and beat up Heyman's security. And then threatened to beat up Heyman. So Heyman ended the show, and I fucking love this. So Heyman does the thing where he pulls out the phone, it's got the Bloodline phone case, and he's like, call Roman Reigns and fine. So he does that, calls Roman Reigns, and pulls out a second phone with a Rock sticker on, says, call The Rock. And he's like, stand there with two phones, and that's how the show ended. And I love that Heyman's just now become the wise man to The Rock as well. But Heyman is just living the dream now, isn't he?
Do you reckon he's got a Brock phone case and a Curtis Axel phone case? And
I did see something online where it's like that, like you notice that when he pulls out the phones, Roman's got like the iPhone 14 Plus, and Rock's has got like an iPhone 11. You know, it's like, ah, Rock got a second hand iPhone.
Yeah, I
like Roman's got his own phone case, and the Rock's has got a sticker.
You know? Yeah, it's a great ending to Raw. Cody saying he's what hunting the Bloodline.
Yes, he is.
Keeps
he is
him
now
busy
the
again still to the for the next 5 weeks.
And if it means we have Heyman Cody promos, then bring it on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cody is still, and I know we said this before and we'll say it again, how over Cody has not just remained, but got more and more over in the last year. Like, crazy, not a lot of people could have bounced back from losing when you should have expected to win at Mania. And you've gone through different feuds and faced different kind of people and lost and won. And you're this over to the point where, like, people have chosen you over The Rock. Like, the people have chosen Cody over The Rock.
Over The
like,
Rock.
That's a legit thing. This isn't just they're telling us this what happened.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the trends, you look at all of it, like, Cody is the man. And it's insane when you think of where Cody was years ago and obviously where he was a few years ago, not even working for them. And now he's like the most babyface to have ever babyfaced in wrestling.
He is. Yeah.
And it's amazing. So that was a good Raw. It was
It was.
I still don't like 3 hour Raws, but it was good. It didn't really drag too much. Everything made sense. Everything had a purpose, set things up. That's all you can ask.
This is a time where Raws are always good. The 4 or 5 weeks leading up to Mania, Raws are always incredibly hot. So Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks. Just before we get to SmackDown, The
Yes.
Rock released a little video, didn't he? I say a
I say
little
little
video,
video.
a
So,
movie.
yeah, on Friday, Thursday, Friday afternoon, whatever it was, Rock went online and released a 15-minute video in which he basically just run down Cody and all and everything else. He then deleted that and uploaded a 21-minute video just so he could talk more shit about Cody. It was, I mean, when I first watched it, I was like, hey, Brian Gewirtz wrote a half decent promo for The Rock. He finally did something. But I watched it again and I was like, you know what? Like, that was an outstanding promo. Like, that's probably one of the best promos Rock has ever done in any wrestling setting ever. Because not only was it further building up the Hollywood Rock character, which is he's fully embraced more than
Brilliant,
I thought Dwayne Johnson would,
yeah.
but it gave us an explanation for Cody. It told us why Cody went out there and said, I'm coming for you, Roman, but not WrestleMania. Here's The Rock. It was that Rock went to him and said, look, Cody, you won the Rumble, brilliant. You know, you're great. Like, do it for your dad, but we can do Rock
Oh,
versus Roman, and this is it. Like, this is business. This is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Cody's like, you know
yeah.
what? It stings, but you're right. It's best for business. And then he thought, no, I'll change my mind because you're
Yeah,
manipulating me. You're doing
my
this
turn.
for your. And that was it. And it was like, perfect. You've done it. Could have been nice having it on TV and told us at the time, but you've retconned it and you course corrected and you've given us now a kayfabe reason. But you've also mixed in that whole like, I'm on the board, I'm your boss. And
Yeah, I like
Dwayne
that.
Johnson loves talking about blurring the lines and like pro wrestling is hot again because is it real? Is it not? And really, it's weird that in a roundabout way, without them directly teasing it, it's almost like they're doing an Austin McMahon authority figure. It's like Triple H and The Rock. They can't do the match. It's a shame because I'd love to see that again. But it's almost like Rock is the authority this time. Rock is Vince McMahon
Rock is
and
the
Cody
boss,
is Steve Austin.
yeah.
And it was a really good promo. Like,
It
it
was
was long.
superb. Yeah, it was very 21 minutes. I was watching it in bed last night. I think it's still going, but it never dipped. It wrapped up the rounded up the story beautifully to the point where we are now. And his little bits, it's just a man that's just cracking. His little like walks a little closer to the camera and whispers, "Fuck your story." Like it's
Oh, it's
just so
so
good.
good. And again, it's where they're now blurring things, and it's you couldn't cut that promo on TV because you couldn't
No.
say fuck the story, but he can do that on this on the
Stick
social
it on
channels. Like
Instagram.
he can do it. That's it. And it's just really, really good. And it just shows that no matter all the stuff, the backstage stuff and who was happy, who wasn't, that he's on board with this and everyone's on the same page. Like, forget this whole power struggle thing. Like, everyone is working together on this. Cody's in and Roman's in and Triple
It
H is
looks like
working on
he's
it and
having
Rock's
fun
there.
doing it as well.
He is. There's no way. Like, thing is that Dwayne Johnson doesn't need to do this. Like, he doesn't
No.
need to come back
Biggest
to
movie star in
wrestling
the
and
world,
do
biggest
this.
star in the world right now.
Like, he's booked for, not including this week, he's booked for three SmackDowns in a row. Like, when was the last time a part-timer, a big movie star, did three shows in a row? Like, Rock only showed up when they were in LA. He was at Glendale, Arizona. He was in Salt Lake City.
He's
Like,
going to Memphis, Tennessee.
that's not exactly like, you know, oh, he's Rock only showed up because he's in Miami or because it's in LA or whatever. Like, he's going to, like, with all due respect, regular places that the big part-time Hollywood stars wouldn't usually go to.
Regular towns that they run.
So, with that in mind, and with that course correction and that kayfabe reason and that kind of in place, we go into SmackDown, where it was announced that The Rock would be there, greatness has returned, and Roman would be there, and there was talk that Cody would be there, and which ended up getting pushed back a little bit. So the Bloodline opened the show. Roman Reigns came out with Solo and with Jimmy and with the Wise Man, and Roman did his acknowledge me bit. But then he said he wasn't happy with the reaction, so he tried it again. And he said, are they in the wrong place? It was like, Phoenix, Arizona, acknowledge me. And oh, it was like, this used to be louder. And he's, you know what? I've done my bit. I've appeared. That's my obligation done. I'm leaving. And he was like, that's it. Finish. And then Heyman's like, you can't leave. Like, why?
Heyman was
He's
superb
coming. And it's,
in
and
it.
for the moment, it was almost like, who's Heyman advocating for now? Like, who's he wise man for now? And then Roman was pouting like you wouldn't
Roman's
believe. Like,
facials are, he's
he
so,
was,
so good.
it was like he was so put out that it was almost like, I'm not the tribal chief. Like, who is the, like, and then they went to an ad break and came back, and then The Rock came out and got a lot of cheers because it's The Rock and the immediate thing. Oh, The Rock's
He
there,
always
yay. Before
will.
you realize, oh, wait, we're booing him now.
He's back on
He
now.
came out with the $500 shirt, like the old style thing with the shades and all that lot. and he cut a rock promo and he declined Cody's challenge for the one-on-one and then countered that with the, which we expected, but we finally appear now to have, a tag team match for night one of WrestleMania. Cody and Seth versus Roman and Rock. The stipulation is, or are, if Roman and Rock win, it's bloodline rules for Cody versus Roman at night two of WrestleMania. Whereas if Cody and Seth win, there is no bloodline interference. They are barred from the ringside area for Cody versus Roman at night two of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Cody is going to be on SmackDown next week. I think Seth is there as well as The Rock and Roman Reigns. I believe Roman is advertised. Is next week Memphis or Dallas?
2 weeks, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure where they are next week. But yeah, Memphis is like
the third Texas, week. And then it's Tennessee, something like that. So yes, all four, well, I assume Roman's there as well. I know Rock is. I assume Roman is going to be there as well.
Must be, yeah, if Rock's there, yeah.
So they did all that, and Rock laid the challenge out. The whole time, Roman still doesn't look all that, you know, and Rock's doing little bits, like talking about Solo doing National Anthem and the crowd chanting for Solo, and then come the moment that my one niggle that I had with this whole story, this moment rectified it completely. Rock went to do as if you smell a line. Roman stopped him.
Oh, the hand coming
asked
in.
For the mic and then simply said, I do everything for my family, but I need to do one thing for me. I need you to acknowledge me. And Heyman was like, what? Like, you're asking The Rock to acknowledge. And again, it was that thing of who's Roman, who's Paul working for now? Yeah. Who's Heyman with now? Like, and The Rock took off the shades and stared him out. And it was like the crowd of electric for
You could look, you could feel crackles of electricity. It was insane.
Remember that segment a little while ago with Usos and Sammy where it was like, I don't give a damn what the Tribal Chief says, and Roman had that look of like, and the crap, it was like that. It was like, oh my god, what are we seeing here? And then The Rock simply said to him, Roman, family, I acknowledge you, you're my Tribal Chief. And it was like, that's it, Roman's the biggest star again. Like, Rock is Rock, but Roman is still the man in charge. And that leveled it up for me. But for 2 weeks, it was Rock's show. Roman was just a little cousin. And I didn't like it. It kind of devalued the last 4 years of Roman Reigns' character that he was no longer the Tribal Chief.
Mm.
And having Rock do that, fine. That was it. Between Rock's promo on social media and telling things and retconning it and bringing it all around again, then having him acknowledge him, sorted. Fine.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Then they did the if you smell, Roman took the head, was given the mic, if you smell the bloodline, is cook him. Then they did the throwing up the ones. Now I know this is a big thing online and people are saying it's teasing. I don't
know. It's too obvious, isn't it, to be an Easter egg.
Yeah. Like the first time they did it a couple of weeks ago, Rock did like an L.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because he just didn't know what he was doing, he just forgot. Whereas this time he did it, pulled the thumb back in, and then kind of let it out again, and there's a shot. Heyman is watching him.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But we're getting Rock versus Roman at some point. Maybe SummerSlam, because there's rumors and reports out that Rock is going to stick around after WrestleMania. So Roman loses the belt. Cody's the champion. Rock's not happy with Roman for letting
disgracing the family, disgracing the family. Yeah.
So then that leads into their match down the line. Roman becomes the face. Rock's still the big bad heel. Perfect. You get the turn for Roman there as well. But I think it's just too obvious of an Easter egg to just have The Rock doing that L. I think maybe he's just playing on it because he saw it from the previous time he did it.
Maybe. It still has that thing, though, that if Rock costs him, I don't want... Cody needs to win on his own. Yeah, like, he shouldn't be winning because The Rock turned on Roman Reigns.
Mm.
If interference happens and, like, everyone comes out to stop the bloodline interfering, it's just left then with Cody and Roman, that's fine. Yeah. But if Cody wins directly because The Rock showed his true colours and turned on Roman Reigns as a plan all along kind of thing,
that's not how
it needs to finish.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're just playing it up for online. Are they just, is it like an, to try and, you know, fool everyone and stuff? Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. But it was a really good segment. It it took up 40 minutes almost all in all, the whole segment from beginning to end, to the point where apparently it ran at least 10 minutes long. And because of that, to cut Naomi's entrance, they had to cut time of the Naomi Tiffany Stratton match. This is a problem with having the Rock around, though. Like, because he will go long. Like, on Raw, it's fine, 3 hours. Don't cut that time on SmackDown. Like, you can't. Like, the Rock does what he wants. They made it clear. Like, Rock shows up when he wants. Rock doesn't. If Rock doesn't want to publicize an appearance, they won't publicize it. Like, he'll do what he wants to do, and they just have to follow his lead.
The problem is, you look at the rest of the card, there's nothing else they could have cut time from anywhere, really.
Not really. Like, everything else on the show had.
It needed its time.
Had a purpose. It had to happen. So, unfortunately, the women kind of had to suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll move on to women's match. So Tiffany Stratton beat Naomi. Great win for Tiff. She's on the tear. Naomi, what? Like, she's come back. Big return at the Rumble. She had a good showing at the Rumble, but now she was the first pinned in the chamber. Mm. She's lost on TV. Obviously, okay, the no entrance was out of control. It wasn't meant to be that. But where does Naomi sit right now?
I think this is just a little bit of she's not being punished for leaving the way she did or anything like that, but I think it's just a little bit of like, well, you are back, yes, but you're so far down the pecking order at this point. You're a big star, you had a big return, but there's women here that have been here and worked their asses off for the past 2 years to get to where they are, that you need to take your medicine for a little bit, I think.
I mean,
she'll get her turn again.
Before she left with Sasha, was she even that big a star, really?
I don't think she was. I never really got her as the main star. Like, she's not one of the four horsewomen, and she's not as good as the Kabuki Warriors or Rhea Ripley or like any of those women. So, yeah, she's down that order.
She's a name, and she's a good person to have in a feud with a Tiffany Stratton, as someone can get a rub from beating her, because she's the former women's champion and she's established. But yeah, I don't really. It's like when there was all talk about her coming back, and it's like, oh, okay. But why? Like, do they need Naomi back? Really?
Yeah, the difference is, if this is Sasha, Sasha's not getting beaten clean in 9 minutes by Tiffany Stratton. They can afford to do this with her.
Yeah.
Because she's a name, they can use her to build Tiffany up even further, which is I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't think this is a problem at all for Naomi. Will get her time again as well. Like, there's so many women. There's so much, like I said earlier, there's so many options for them to go with whoever they want, really, that she'll get her turn again eventually.
Sticking with the women, up next, we had Bayley and Dakota Kai trying to get some revenge on the Kabuki Warriors in a tag match. Bayley got thrown into Dakota, knocked her down off the apron. Bayley got beat up. She finally got a chance for the big hot tag, and then Dakota Kai turned on Bayley.
We all saw it coming. Perfectly fine with it. It just makes Bayley an even bigger babyface. And reports I've seen online today suggest that Sasha may be back at Mania to help her win, even the odds a little bit. Don't need it, but
thing is, at this point, AEW have all but announced that Sasha Banks is signed. Like, she's there. They've booked a show, essentially called We Are debuting Mercedes Moné here. Like, she's in the graphic that she signed. So they're teased. Like, I don't. It's still that thing of, but Mercedes is going to AEW. Like, she's locked. She's gone. Plus, also, I don't. Even if she wasn't, do we need Sasha Banks?
No.
Was she? This is not a criticism of her, even though it sounds like it. But was she that good?
When four horsewomen came up, the four of them were incredible. They were out of this world. The likes we'd not seen on women's wrestling on WWE before. At this point, nah, she's been overtaken. Overtaken by so many of the wrestlers.
That's it. When NXT was in its glory days, the Iron Man match between Bayley and Sasha, classic, absolutely insane, incredible match. And they were the top four: Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and Sasha. They were the top. They were the pinnacle of the division. Charlotte evolved. She's got her criticism. She's got her critics, but she evolved. Bayley has evolved. Becky has evolved.
It's one of the biggest stars in the company.
Sasha ever really evolve?
No, she played the same character. She'd win a belt, she'd lose it 3 weeks later to Charlotte or someone else on Raw. She never changed her character up. The rest of them have, and quite dramatically.
We said this with the men. Like, so look at the women. You've got Becky, Nia, Rhea, Tiffany's getting over huge.
Yeah.
Naomi, it's always good to plonk in a slot. You've got Bayley. Kairi Sane, incredible. Asuka, incredible. Dakota Kai, incredible. Like, Io Sky, amazing. You've got women down the NXT that are getting better and coming up. You've got people on women on Raw that aren't even getting on TV.
Yeah, Candice LeRae, people on
Where would Sasha even sit?
Like, yeah, there's not enough time for TV. That's mental saying that, but there's not enough time. There's going to be two women's matches on Mania at the absolute most, I reckon. Like, and that's the biggest show ever, every year. Like, there's not enough time to put more than that, those women for those matches for the women on the biggest show of the year. So how are you going to find another 10, 15 minutes every week to put Sasha Banks on TV? Yeah, you're not going to.
So let her go to AEW, and I'm sure she'll do well for the first couple of weeks. And like most people in AEW, they'll not know what to do with her. And then look at Adam Copeland.
Exactly. So,
like, again, I know it sounds like we're going to knock AEW, but, like, they signed Adam Copeland, who's a mega star. Like, he is a legend in professional wrestling.
Hall of Famer, legend,
Why is he not in the main event? Why is he not challenging for the world title? Like, why? And I'm all for giving new people a chance. Like, they gave MJF the title for a year, and now they've got, like, Samoa Joe's the champ. It's great to see him with a world title. And they've got, like, Swerve Strickland's in there. Moxley's always there or thereabouts. And Adam Page is over. But this is Adam Cope. This is Edge. Like, you've got Edge apart from Edge. You've got the music. You've got the look. You've got everything that is Edge, just without the name. But he's still huge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be all in at Wembley this year. And Adam Copeland's going to be there, you know, as long as he's not injured. He will get the pop to end all pops, because it's Adam Copeland in Wembley Stadium with Alter Bridge playing. Insane. Yeah. Why is he not in the main event of that company? Like, if he can still go, which we know he can, why is he not working the main events with the Moxleys and the Cesaros, or Claudios and all that lot? And the same be Mercedes. She'll come in, she'll have massive, she'll be huge, and she'll be working with Soraya.
Exactly.
Like, really? Yeah. Like, yeah, I'll just...
Well, their biggest thing star jump ship the other way, because they didn't really have anything for her to do once she lost her title and her unbeaten.
That's it. And you got Jade Cargill come out of Royal Rumble and immediately exuded star power like never before. And you're like,
face to face with the Kabuki Warriors this week backstage.
And she's on TV almost week in, week out, and there's no sign of where she's going to go or what she's going to do. But you know, when she does finally start doing something, it's going to be big. And you're like, okay, well, let's look in 6 months where Jade is to where Mercedes is in AW, and we'll see how things lay, where Bayley is in 6 months' time. And even when Naomi is, like, Naomi's gone back. Let's see where she is in 6 months. So, yeah, this is building up. Bayley is, like, a huge baby face at Mania. She's going to have to overcome all the odds. And I love the fact that, like, the vision she had for Damage Control as a character, she's now seeing that at its best. Yeah. It's her worst, because it's now against her. It's like she wanted them to be as a group. She's finally got there, but unfortunately she's had to pay the price for it. And it's a really good story. And it's so good, because Bayley wouldn't have got this shot under the old regime, because she wasn't that pin-up kind of, you know, glamour diva almost. She is a women's wrestler. And she's got this, and the story is there. And I can't wait for the next 5 weeks of TV building this up.
The video package at Mania is going to be amazing.
That Bayley to belly, and if she comes out with inflatable tube men and she does the whole babyface entrance, that's going to be insane. I cannot wait for that.
No, not at all.
Rey Mysterio throughout the night.
I've jumped forward one segment, but Rey Mysterio is back as well.
Rey Mysterio's back, yeah. So he's been out since November with an injury. But he showed up at the end of the street fight between Carlito and Cara and Santos Escobar.
Yeah.
And he came out with an awesome, great Muta mask. It was, what a look. He had some grey in his beard, very natural, which a lot of people online were like, my childhood's ruined because Rey Mysterio's grey now. It's like, he's been grey for years, probably. Like, people get old. Have you seen Cena's hair?
Yeah, exactly.
A lack of it. Did you see Triple H during lockdown? When he couldn't have his hair cut, and it was like, have you seen Shawn Michaels? Like, have you seen Shawn? His hairline has receded more than,
it's receded to the back of his
neck. An orc army in Lord of the Rings. Like, it's just so, you know, but Rey looked good, and he's always going to be over, and he's always going to get a pop, because he's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And also, Carlito won the singles match, because Carlito's not really worked much singles since he came back, and Carlito looks awesome for his age as well. He looks so
full on chair shot to the head as well, Carlito.
Why is that a thing again? Why are we doing chair shots to the head again? Like,
That can stay in the Vince McMahon era, please. We don't need that.
Yeah, anymore. Like, LA Knight led a little while ago, and they didn't have the referee, like, wipe it away. And you're like, we don't need to see, like, I hope that wasn't a blade, but like, we don't need to see blood unless it's hardware and it's accidental. We don't need to see chair shots to the head. Like,
leave that on
AEW. Leave that in the past, please. Okay, so throughout the night, there was a backstage story where LA Knight was looking for AJ Styles for retribution, of course, for Elimination Chamber. So LA Knight's all around, making noise, causing commotion, causing chaos. And then Nick Aldis tells him, oh no, I told AJ to stay at home. Maybe tell LA Knight at the start of the night that he's not going to be there.
Send a memo
just
out.
To save, yeah, save the hassle. Of course, this is building up WrestleMania. We know we're going to get there at some point. It's going to be a really good match. I assume LA will win because it's a big moment for him. But AJ has physically looked stunning. He's jacked up since he's been away.
Huge.
And, yeah.
But he can still do AJ stuff, which is fantastic.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that story progresses leading into Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Right, main event. Earlier in the night, there was a backstage segment with Waller and Theory. Orton walked in the dressing room and it ended up basically Waller pushing Theory into the match. Orton won in 9 minutes.
Doesn't Orton seem like he's just living his best life at this point? He's come back from that really serious injury. Just looks like he's happy, doing what he loves, having fun.
Yeah.
And saving Austin Theory's life as well with that botched superplex.
Yeah. Orton is a different person. Like, he's having fun. He's enjoying what he's doing. And
this is the time now where they need to give him another group. They need to give him a young Cody Rhodes and Teddy DiBiase.
Yep.
Because they could learn so much from him.
This Orton looks as good as he ever has. He's just, because he's smarter now. He knows how to work smarter and still do everything he needs to do, but at less. And also, just a note as well, the cell job that he did on his back in the chamber, I genuinely thought he was hurt. Yeah. I thought he was legit hurt.
It was Shawn Michaels-esque.
It was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
After the match, Kevin Owens ran out and gave Theory a stunner, which Theory jumped like 15 feet in the air to sell.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. Scott Hall would have been happy about that. Owens and Orton bump fist. They're on the same page for now, although I assume that will change. Logan Paul's back in, which I think is next week. He's back. And that will probably, as we said, lead into Mania. Speaking of Mania, this is what we're looking at right now, confirmed, at least. We have, for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. We have the World Heavyweight Championship finally confirmed. Seth Rollins against, let's be honest, the best heel in the business right now in Drew McIntyre. The man is on fire. It's insane how good he is right now.
Yeah.
World Women's Championship, Becky Lynch challenges Rhea Ripley, and we have the Women's Championship of Io Sky defending against Bayley. Of course, coming out of this week's TV, we are expecting Logan Paul to defend the US Championship against Randy Orton and probably Kevin Owens in a three-way. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Jimmy Uso versus Jay, which wasn't really talked about or teased on this week's TV, but I assume we'll probably get back in track in the forthcoming weeks because that appears to be the direction they're going in. And of course, the big, huge, massive tag team match. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins taking on The Rock and Roman Reigns. If Cody and Seth win, there is no bloodline interference in the Cody Roman match, or if Rock and Roman win, then it's bloodline rules, anything goes.
Who wins that match?
I'm going to call it now. I would have Roman and Rock win, and I would have Seth take the pin because Drew gets involved.
Yeah,
because Cody can't lose.
No,
Rock can't get pinned, and you can't pin Roman. No. So,
unfortunately, Seth is the one.
Has to take the pin, but I would have Drew cost him because then it kind of ties everything in to Seth's match with Drew the following night.
Yeah, and what we are going to get is Seth versus Roman again, which is always electric and always fantastic.
And I think, and this is absolutely a Triple H thing here, they are building up, and I said I'll allude to it a little earlier, this is building up to the biggest happy ending moment of a pay-per-view in history. I'm calling it now. I can see it in my mind's eye now. Bloodline rules. Anything goes. The Rock's going to be there and it's going to be absolute chaos. No rules, no holds barred. And you're going to have, like, Seth will come out to try and help. But there could be big beat down, be Solo be there, Jimmy be there.
He's got Roman. Roman's got The Rock. He's got Jimmy.
Solo and Jimmy.
Solo and The Rock.
Yeah, and so the Wise Man. Yeah.
Five of them, say.
Is going to end up with the Avengers will come out to help, which would be Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
It'll be Jey Uso.
Yeah.
It will be Seth Rollins. I would even put in Kevin Owens, because I think it's going to cross both brands. Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. If you really want to go all out nostalgia, call in Steve Austin. Call in Steve Austin to give The Rock a stunner. Let us have a Rock stunner sell one last time at a match. Because, look, Austin's been talking about that he would be willing to work a match.
Yeah.
Bring him in for an angle. Like, he can come out. Like, they've already established.
Can you imagine
Cody
after all that shit that's happening in the ring, all those guys are there and the glass smashes? My mind might explode. I don't think I'm going to physically handle that.
WrestleMania, like, you look at the big WrestleMania, WrestleMania 10, yeah. Bret Hart won the title, ended with the baby faces. WrestleMania 20, Benoit and Eddie ended baby face on top. WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan, big, huge baby face win. WrestleMania 40, to finish the story. Like, this is Cody's time and he's going to get everything. And this is going to be the most Attitude Era brawl you've ever seen. It's going to be chaos and interference and this. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see this because they're telling the story. They're having Cody build up this Avengers team.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to finally get revenge on the bloodline. And it's going to bring, it's going to wrap up the last 3.5 years worth of storytelling. It's going to bring everyone that's been wronged by LA Knight, all of them that have all lost, can all come in to take out the bloodline. And then once everything's, all the smoke is cleared and all the dust has settled and everyone's gone,
Crossroads
it's
on
Cody
Roman.
And Roman.
Yeah.
And that's it. And Heyman's there panicking because Roman's got no help. And there's no Solo this year. And there's no Jimmy. And there's no Rock. And it's Cody can then beat him clean.
Yeah.
One-on-one, no help, no excuses. And then Cody ends with the fireworks and the belt. And it's put him, have the face come out and put Cody on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And you give him the full Bret Hart, Daniel Bryan, Eddie Guerrero. Yeah. Like celebration.
Yeah.
That's how, for me, the only way Mania can end. You can't have Roman win. Like, this is now the story getting ended. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Like,
it's a year's worth of storytelling.
I'm like giddy with excitement that I cannot wait to be watching WrestleMania in 5 weeks' time. Popping and going absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Watching all that unfold because I can see it, and it's the and this is where the story's going. That they're telling us it now.
Mm.
They are literally laying this out in front of us. And sometimes the wrestling can be predictable. It doesn't have to be a surprise. You don't have to swerve everywhere. You don't have to have someone win for the sake of a swerve.
No,
like if everyone expects it, good. You're pleasing them.
Exactly.
But it means that Mania becomes the biggest event because
everyone wants Daniel Bryan to win.
Like that's it. Like if everyone guesses it. Everyone's going to be thinking, yeah, that's going to happen. Okay, give it to them then. That's because they want it.
Exactly.
Give them what they want. Like, Fritz, I believe in you, man. Like, give us this. Give us the whole thing. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. And
it's in Philly as well. Philly crowds are mental.
Oh, but two more weeks of SmackDown yet. We've got The Rock is booked for the next 2 weeks of SmackDown. Roman Reigns is assumed booked as well. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, this... I can't wait for Cody and The Rock to go back and forth on the mic. Like, I know that on his radio show, Bully Ray's been saying basically they shouldn't have that. Cody get eviscerated by him. But this is the thing, because whenever The Rock's had a promo war with someone, it's always been someone who's been sort of a bit similar.
Yeah.
Cody is a very different promo style to a CM Punk, to a John Cena.
John Cena,
I think those two could put on an absolute clinic in promo. Like that could be something truly special when those two go like head to head on the mic. It really can. And Seth and The Rock has never been seen. We've never done that before. Like they've never shared the ring and they're about to and Seth's about to main event WrestleMania. Like finally Seth is going to main event WrestleMania.
Yeah. Rock's
Seth
been obviously
as the
calling
champion.
Him a clown as well. I think we're going to get maybe a serious Seth as well, WrestleMania.
Yeah. Seth Rollins is going to main WrestleMania as the champion. I can't wait. This is going to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
It is.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
You know what I've just realised as well? Sorry, just to detract. I'm on holiday the week after WrestleMania. So, I'm staying up watching all of this. I don't care about 40.
We've already got plans. I mean, if you want to jump in on what we're doing for Mania, then feel free. Like, we'll sort that out.
Yeah.
join us. And we've still got 5 weeks to go. We've got 5 weeks of build up to come. Like, we're seeing a WrestleMania like road, not under Vince McMahon. Like, we're now seeing what Triple H can do for WrestleMania under his own control. This could be seriously something special.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the first proper one that Triple H is fully in charge of. There's no one else in his ear at all. So, I can't wait.
Okay, right. that'll do us for now. I think we've done Chain, we've done Raw, we've done SmackDown, and we've pretty much told you how Mania should and hopefully is going to end. Right, if you have any thoughts, feelings, or anything else on this show, you can contact us in the normal multitude, smorgasbord of ways on Facebook at Ring the Bell Show, on Twitter and Instagram at Ring the Bell Pod. Ross, what's the email address?
ringthebellpod@gmail.com.
And if you want to listen to us in a row of places, you can, wherever you get your podcasts, on Anchor and Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Amazon Music Podcast, leave us a rating and a review and share us and like us and all the other stuff that you can do on those respective platforms. Before we go, Ross, any last thoughts?
Download the Anchor app, by the way. You can leave us voicemails on there and we can play them on the show and we can answer your questions. Let us know what your thoughts are heading into WrestleMania, who you want to see sort of win the belt, so you really want to see wrestle there. Yeah, leave us voicemails. Bit of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be back next week with another show.
Yeah, we're back next week. We're going to try three in a row. We're like The Rock. If The Rock's back, then we're back. So that's it now. Join us next week where we'll talk over what happens on this next week's Raw and SmackDown, including another appearance by The Rock, the Hollywood icon. The great one is gracing SmackDown again. Let's see how many segments he can cause to be cancelled this time when he overruns on the mic.
Just give him anyway, 2 hours. 2 hour Rock.
Just give him 2 hours. Just him and just Bloodline for 2 hours. That's it. Forget it. Just be easier that way. Saves him to cut anyone's time. Okay, that has been another episode of Ring the Bell. We are firmly on the road to WrestleMania now. There is no stopping. We can see Philly on the horizon. 40 XL, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, will be there soon enough. Thank you for listening. This has been Ring the Bell. I have been Andrew.
I have been Ross. Andrew.
Yes.
Ring that bell.